beautiful day to be here in worship. I believe that God blesses those things when we bring ourselves to God and we give God something to bless. I think you will be blessed for being a part of a worship service today. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Casey. I'm the pastor here, and we're so glad that you're here. We're in the middle of a series called Contrary Kingdom, and we've been digging through this part of the teaching of Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount. You can find it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, and we've been focused on chapter 5. And it's contrary because it oftentimes just runs so differently than what our common sense, our assumptions, or maybe even what we want God's kingdom and God's way to be like. But Jesus is inviting us into that, and that's the journey that we've been on. And if you've missed any of those previous messages, you can find those on our website. You know, our youngest son, we have three kids, our youngest son, Shepherd, loves Legos. And for several years now, whenever he gets allowance money, he uses his allowance money to buy Lego sets. And, you know, in some ways it makes it kind of easy because people say, well, what do we get him for Christmas? And we're like, Legos. What do we get him for birthday? Legos. We're kind of starting to shift a little bit into a little more action figure phase, but we still like our Legos, and we've spent, I don't want to know how much money has been spent on Legos, but we have a lot of Legos, and we've spent a lot of time, hours, looking at, you know, instruction manuals and going through and step by step and taking piece by piece and putting those Lego sets together, and we've got rooms in our house where there's completed Lego sets all over the place. And you know, this week we're kind of diving into some words about Jesus had to say about marriage and the end of marriage. And I got to thinking, I thought, you know, building a marriage in some ways is a lot like building those Lego sets. I mean, you're trying to just take piece by piece, day by day, week by week, month after month, year by year, just building something together, something special with somebody else. And you know what? A lot like building Lego sets, sometimes you go, there's a piece that seems to be missing. There is something, like, I feel like there's something else that's supposed to be here. How do we get this to work? And you just kind of figure it out along the way. And you know, also like Lego said, sometimes the things we spend a lot of time investing our time and energy into building, sometimes they don't stay built. Sometimes disaster strikes our Lego sets. The dog's tail. A well-meaning friend that just could not keep their hands off of the well-crafted Millennium Falcon, you know, or just a parent absentmindedly runs into a shelf. And all this time that we've spent building this thing carefully, piece by piece, now it has come apart. And you know, sometimes the same thing happens with marriages. We spent time, we build them, we put them together, and then one day it seems like something, there's a piece missing, something fell apart. And maybe it was slow in coming, or maybe some big event happened and kind of pushed the marriage into crisis mode, and now suddenly things aren't what they were. Things seem to be crumbling. And then one day, that word that nobody on their wedding day ever wants to or plans to use about themselves is considered, that word floats into the mind, the word divorce. And you know, we're going to talk about divorce today. You know, we're talking about it not just because so many of us go through it, but because Jesus himself talked about divorce. And we're just making our way through Matthew 5, and there we stumble upon Jesus talking about divorce. And in this message series, again, we're thinking about what it means to be a part of his contrary kingdom, to live life under the loving leadership of God. And Jesus seems to think that something to do with marriage and the end of marriage, all of that needs to be considered as well when we think about living life under God's loving leadership. And you know, that's kind of a personal space, isn't it? But all along what we've seen, and hopefully what you've seen as we've been going through this series, is how Jesus keeps going to those personal spaces in our lives. He's been telling us and trying to influence our thinking and our feeling and what we do with our bodies and our desires. And now We might have wondered, is there possibly a more intimate personal space he could go to? And then he talks about marriage and divorce. You know, wading into people's marriages and their romantic relationships has to be one of the messiest things that a pastor can ever step into. And maybe some pastors go looking to do that. I am not one of those pastors. Because I'm like, that is a place filled with landmines. There's so much stuff that you may not know happening in people's lives, and you may hand out some sort of advice or what you think is wisdom, and you've stepped on a landmine, or you send somebody down a wrong turn because there was a piece of information you did not know about. Some people, maybe even some of us here in this room, maybe would wish pastors or just Christians in general would just, you know, don't poke around in my relationships, I won't poke around in yours. Live and let live. You know, to be frank with you, I encountered a little bit that this last week on that wonderful space in the world we call Twitter. Because I thought, I'm just going to throw out just like, here are some different, I'm researching what do different Christian churches believe about marriage and divorce. And I'm like, here are some links. Here's what the Catholics say, the Baptists, the Orthodox. And, you know, somebody basically, I'll paraphrase, said, you know, I just think people ought to just mind their own business. And I'm like, I totally get that. People come, they want to give me advice. I'm like, why are you giving me advice? Who are you? but I said, you know, I'm a Christ follower. And one of the things I believe about being a Christ follower is that every area of my life is an open book to Jesus. And one of the tasks that then is given to people who are pastors, shepherds of God's people, is to help other people figure out what does that mean in all areas of our life to come under the loving leadership of God. And that means some of our most significant and intimate relationships. So we're going to look at that today. And we're also going to see that some of what Jesus says about marriage and divorce can be a little controversial and maybe even cause some hurt feelings if we're not really sure what he's going on about. So we're going to look at two places today. We're going to start in Matthew 5. That's where we've been. But we're going to jump over to Matthew 19 because Jesus actually goes into way more detail talking about marriage and divorce right there. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. If you have a Bible, you can open it to Matthew 5. We'll have all of this on the screen as well. And then we're going to flip over to Matthew chapter 19. If you're looking for it in the Bibles there in the seating area, you'll find Matthew in the 600-page realm there. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, and then we're skipping over to the beginning of 19. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Let's skip over to Matthew 19, first verse. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him, and they asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who've been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." God, we pray that you would help us to dig deep into these words of Jesus and get wisdom and insight so that we can place our lives under your loving leadership. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the words of Jesus in Matthew 5 are painfully brief. In fact, of all the stuff Jesus talks about in that whole chapter, that he uses the least amount of words to talk about divorce. And so we see something, you heard echoes of it, similar connection points over in 19. So we're going to go over to 19 and do our deep dive there. One of the reasons why is I'm convinced that what he says in Matthew 5 is actually kind of a condensed down summary of what's going on in Matthew 19. And when we look at 19, let's take a look at that. It says, the Pharisees came to Jesus to test him. Why are they coming to test him? Well, there's a debate. They want his insight. And listening to the question that Jesus is asked by them is absolutely vital to understanding what he has to say about marriage and the dissolution of a marriage. So the Pharisees ask him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? That's a loaded question. Now that's from the NIV, the English Translation Bible that we use here week in and week out, and it's a solid translation. However, from time to time, we get a little bit of better insight from a different English translation, and I think that happens this week. We look at a different translation, the ESV. Here's how it puts that verse. Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? You see the difference there? One says for any and every reason, the other says for any cause. And actually, it turns out that that phrase, any cause, was a technical legal term being debated among the Jewish Bible scholars and Pharisees of the first century. The Jewish Bible scholars of the day looked to two different places in their Old Testament for guidance on divorce for the Jewish community. One was Exodus 21 that basically said a husband had to provide his wife with her material needs and physical affection. If he did not do those things, then she was free to separate and marry a guy that would provide those things. The other passage was Deuteronomy chapter 24, the first few verses. And this was the passage that they were debating. In fact, it was just one verse, one sentence, and really even one phrase that they put all of their time and energy into. And I believe it's that verse, that sentence, that phrase that they are quizzing Jesus on and asking, where do you stand on this topic? Listen to how that verse goes in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. It said this, if a wife... This is all focused on guys. It was the time and day they were in. If a wife finds no favor in her husband's eyes because he finds in her indecency in anything, and he writes for her a certificate of divorce, etc., etc. That was their focus. And they, the Jewish teachers called rabbis, they quibbled a little bit about Exodus 21, but they were really agitated and debated about that line in Deuteronomy. Why was that? What was it there that they found so stimulating and so interesting? Well, you see, it was that little phrase there, indecency in anything. Again, it gets translated in different ways in English, but that's a very literal translation, indecency in anything. And that phrase, in anything, becomes the phrase, any cause, in the time of Jesus. And by the time of Jesus, there are battle lines drawn. You are on one side or you are on the other. And they want to know, Jesus, which side are you on? On the one side were the people who followed the teachings of a rabbi named Rabbi Shammai. And Rabbi Shammai focused on the word indecency, which basically meant sexual unfaithfulness. So he said, the grounds of divorce Moses is talking about in this passage of Deuteronomy is unfaithfulness of a spouse. There were others, though, that were in a different camp, and they followed the teachings of a teacher named Hillel. And Hillel focused on the phrase, in anything. And he thought that meant anything. Any reason a guy wants to walk out on his wife, Moses says that's fine. Now, you can see that's a very big difference of opinion, and it makes a really big difference in the lives of flesh and blood human beings. And in fact, Hillel's position was taken to the extreme of if a guy's wife burns her dinner, he has grounds for a divorce. Now, that got kind of a chuckle at first service, and I had to tell them, I'm not making that up. That's actually in an ancient document as an example. If a guy sees another woman that he finds more attractive, he can walk out. That, and in fact, there are ancient sources that talk about a guy saying, I was basically done with this wife and I wanted a different one, so I sent her away. In other words, I divorced her. Any cause divorce. Jesus, where do you stand? Is Moses talking about unfaithfulness? Is he talking about being able to divorce for any cause? And friends, when you learn about this debate, when you and I learn about that, and then we try to read the words of Jesus, you and I have to ask a really important question. When Jesus talks about divorce here and elsewhere, is he talking about divorce in general? Or is he talking about how to read this particular phrase in a particular place of the Old Testament? Is he talking about divorce in general, or is he talking about just the debate over that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 24? And the pressure to answer that question correctly gets ratcheted up, right? Because we know what Jesus is going to say next. We heard it in Matthew 5. We see it here in verse 9 of chapter 19, where he says, "But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife," anyone, Jesus? Anyone who divorces his wife, "except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." Yikes. That sounds like, if he's talking about marriage or divorce in general, it sounds like he's saying divorce and then remarriage are on par with adultery. And maybe you're new to the Bible, maybe even new to Jesus, and you hearing this today going, "I thought Jesus was nice." Because that sounds really restrictive and even kind of harsh. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, and you've got strong opinions on marriage and divorce, and you're like, "Yes, Jesus, turn the screw. I mean, yeah, divorce is just too permissive in our culture."